Hello everyone, welcome
Hello.
to another episode of Princess in the Big Blue podcast. I'm Princess.
I'm the Big Blue.
And today we want to talk about police and why ACAB, which maybe I'll have to explain what that means, all cops are bastards. Or if you actually happen to have an ACAB tattoo and a police officer asks you what it means, you can say all colors are beautiful. Can mean other things too, but yeah. Why me as an anarchist, and I think almost all anarchists do not like police.
Do you want to explain why?
Well, maybe we can also say why.
What inspired this conversation?
In the news last week and still today was the shooting dead of 17-year-old Nabel in Paris suburb, near Paris, which caused or was the instigation of riots for many days in many, not just in Paris, in other places. That was one of the main reasons, and also just other news, which just shows that police is really bad wherever you look at it. I mean, we all know in US, I mean, George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, and like it's very clear that police is racist but also just very violent, but it's basically everywhere. I mean, in the also in the news last week was, I think, in the UK, this report about a police unit which were found that they were using methods which even within the police were like hardly justifiable or not justifiable at all, like
and completely unethical.
Unethical, yeah. Which I was pretty surprised that it was on the news last week, because I'd heard about this like 10, 15 years ago. So it's like, how come this is only now, like, that it's such a surprise? But anyway. Yeah, infiltrating basically protest groups and male police officers having sexual relations and even children with people they were spying on, basically. Yeah, all kinds of stuff, but like all kinds of really unethical stuff, especially seeing like what would have been the gain from that, like knowing when a protest action was going to happen. Like, is it really fair, like, it make any sense to impede on people's civil rights that much just for what gain? Just so the police can do police stuff, which is just like control everyone. I mean, and there's many, many, many more things, but I think, I mean, when we were watching the news and it showed the riots in France, I mean, I was slightly surprised at you, of your reaction.
Oh yeah?
I mean, positively surprised.
Yeah, because we've had some heated conversations in the past about the police.
I mean, I think
especially
most
in South Africa.
Yeah, but most things we agree, and like even anarchism, when I explained to you, made sense. But like the fact that police is bad has always kind of been a bit of a step too far for you, almost.
Yeah, because I always want to see the human being behind the role. But I do think that certain roles, like, creates, like, a power dynamic that is not balanced, and that maybe could be, like, more, could create scenarios where the opposite happens. So you expect police to be there to ensure justice, but actually, a lot of the time, because they have this control, this power, that they create injustice in the because of their behavior or the things that they do. So I think that, like, actually the conversations that we've had over the years have I don't know, it's kind of like opened up my mind a little bit. But I do feel like each scenario should be looked at independently, each country, because like a place like South Africa has, I mean, we were just talking about it before the show, like, it has so many complexities, and we never want to justify any violence, especially against people who are desperate or in need. But South Africa is also a very violent place. So I think I don't want to talk about South Africa too much.
No, I mean, I feel the same. I mean, I've lived in South Africa now for about 10 years, but I still feel like I mean, I can discuss with you what I think the problems are in South Africa, but I'm very hesitant to share them too publicly, because South Africa is such a complex country that it's hard to even just apply things which make sense everywhere. I still think police is bad everywhere, which includes South Africa, but like, we'll not talk about that because like Big Blue was saying, it's so complex that like, yeah, I mean, maybe we can at some point have an episode just about South Africa, but I think one episode would not be enough. I mean, just to talk about some things related to South Africa, which are specific to South Africa, which probably in a way aren't, because the same things happen everywhere. But
No, just like on that note, I was thinking like South Africa is like, for me, and maybe for you a little bit, for me it feels like South Africa is like a family, like the country is a family member.
Yeah.
And you know like how you can talk as much shit about your family member as you want, but no one else is allowed to.
But then in private, you're not going to, like you might think that like your sister or your is like in a relationship with a complete asshole and she should dump this guy. But like, if someone's gonna critique your sister like in public, then they're gonna get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that I do feel the same. So
we'll
not take South Africa in the equation. I think my experience, having grown up in Europe, is from police in Europe. I mean, for me it's Belgium, but what I see in France, I don't know UK as much, but like, from what you see in the news, and America, we read about it enough, and we see enough about it in the news that we can, I mean, it's pretty clear what's happening there. And I think, I mean, that's why I would say, like, it's the same problem everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is the police. Police doesn't solve problem, but police is the problem.
I guess it's like when we were watching the news with what was happening in France in the first few days after the shooting of this young man. The politicians were calling for peace and for calm and whatever, and they seemed to maybe be like their action was possibly appropriate, but I think what would maybe be the better action would be to make sure that justice was carried out as swiftly as possible against the policemen, and maybe apologies or whatever, like a very swift action against the perpetrator.
But that alone would not solve the.
It wouldn't solve the like systematic problem that that has existed obviously for a really long time. But what like really was pretty nuts was that they had put on the news that they were calling in all of these
special police,
the riot police, and all these other police.
CRT, I think it's the riot.
It was like 40,000 police or something.
And a lot of them are the special crowd control, as they call it, which is basically riot cops.
It's like, how are you going to solve this problem by bringing in the people who are the creators of this problem?
And actually, if even more heavily armed or more like the ones who are even bigger and bastards than the ones who actually...
And more violent, as you say. Exactly. Yeah,
exactly. I think what I was pleasantly surprised is when you said, like, well, when you see... like people setting fire to cars and rioting with police, that it's like, well, what do you expect? Or it's like that you actually said it's justified. Maybe not in so many words.
Yeah, no, but I think it is. Yeah. But I think like also I think my thinking has been opened up a little bit, because even if you do, going back to South Africa, if you look at the history of South Africa, like what I've learned, much to my dismay, because I always said that violence was never an answer to anything, but oftentimes nothing changes without violence.
Mm.
People continue to be desperate, unheard, like discriminated against, unless something serious happens. That's what happened in South Africa.
The end of apartheid wasn't just because like Mandela was like quietly protesting in jail. No, he was in jail because he was planning, well, basically terrorist attacks, and like I guess that's after his death, and like now that he's seen as like this harbinger of peace and like Nobel Prize winner, and which is all justified, but like don't.
He was like, seen as a terrorist.
No, and what he did would for most people be terrorism, because he was terrorizing the apartheid states, which was like. Had to be terrorized, otherwise they would keep going.
They would never change,
exactly. So, like, that violence, I mean, I'm kind of the same. I mean, violence, I'm a non-violent person myself. I, like, I've never actually struck someone or, like, never been in a fight, but never even thrown one punch or even, like, hit someone. because it's just not in my nature. But on the other hand, I just oppose injustice so much that, like, I will not, like,
see it as
impossible that in some cases I would strike someone if it really, if that was the only, like, way, the only appropriate action. Mm-hmm. I guess that's, like, more in line with, like, what the spiritual path we were talking a bit about last week, which is, like, this is something as the appropriate action.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, there's no, like, anyway, it's like, there's not, no good or no bad, like, you just do the appropriate action, and in some cases, appropriate action might be what is considered violence.
Mm.
But yeah, to go back to, well, what happened there, like, it was a random, I think, police stop, and this 17-year-old was basically shot dead at point-blank range, that's what it seems to be. And our politicians are saying this is horrible what happened and there's no justification and this and that, but please stay calm. It's like, well, why is this still happening? Like, this is like, this is nothing
new.
It's
not a new thing, yeah.
I mean, like, as I was seeing this on the news, I thought of the French movie La Haine, which is, I think, translated as hatred or, like, or basically, which was made in the 90s, and interestingly enough, the next day or a few days later, the director, French director of the film La Haine, was talking about they're making basically a musical version of, which, and he obviously referred to what happened just there, but, like, what he said is, like, the difference now between when he made the movie and now, that now everyone knows the police is racist and violent. Back then, like, that movie kind of opened a lot of people's eyes, only the people who were directly faced by it, which is mainly people who are in underprivileged neighborhoods, which is, like, are faced with police violence in a day-to-day basis. So for most people, it's just, like, when they see these riots, they don't understand that, like, this is not just one thing that led to that.
No, it's a build-up, hey?
Yeah, and it's, like, and also, like, things are bad, but, like, violence is never the answer, and you're not going to change anything with violence, but it's just like, this is just feels for me like the appropriate reaction of people to what they're seeing. And I guess the other part of it from an anarchist perspective is also just shows that, like, well, when that happened, it was clear, and I'm sure the police and politicians in France knew there were going to be days and days of rioting on large scale, so they were asking for calm and actually sending more police. It's like, also was very clear that no matter how much police they sent, even if they sent all the police in the country, they would not be able to stop this, because if there's enough people opposing any violence, at some point they will overwhelm the police, and that's what happens. And it's also, there's, like, almost some celebration in violence where actually violence is turned back against the oppressor, which is the same as what, like, we're talking about the struggle against apartheid. Yeah, it's like, on one hand, like, laying bombs or violence against people feels unjust, but if it's turned back on the people who are on a day-to-day basis and without any consequences are violating you, then there is some real beauty in there, I think. And in some cases, like, violence is really the only answer. So yeah, that brings us to the term ACAB, all cops are bastards, which is quite interesting, because, like, quite recently we actually became, like,
friends
with someone who's a police officer. We obviously we're not friends with him because he's a police officer, almost, and not even despite the fact that he's a police officer, he's just a very
cool guy,
and, like, I think probably even as a police, it sounds like he's, like, a really, I mean, from decent, all we've heard, he's, like, all the things he stands for are things we stand for, except when he's in the role of police, he still at some point needs to do what police do. And, like, if he's ordered to arrest someone, or if whatever situation arises where, like, someone is breaking the law, even if that law is unjust, he will need to arrest those people. And he will, like, basically, the thing is, police is basically, they call it the monopoly of violence. Like, in a society, like, violence is never permitted, except police is allowed to use violence against citizens in your own country, because war is a different thing. But, which it actually isn't, but yeah. Which just goes back, I mean, what I want to say is like police is basically inherently bad. It's inherently like it is violence is the reason police exist, even if there's like now with like when there is reform, there's talk about less like of more gentle policing or changing policing. And like on the one hand you would think like, well, if the police wasn't so violent or there was not they were not so racist or there weren't all these things, then the police wouldn't be bad. It's just there's some problems in police, but you can reform police. Like I guess it's the whole thing is what I'm trying to get to is like off, especially with Black Lives Matter and killing of George Floyd in the US, like a lot of people were talking about abolishing the police, but more people were saying like, no, we need to reform the police. The problem is like you can't reform a system that's inherently violent and wrong. And historically you can look back at why police exist, and it's always been to protect the people who are in power, and mainly which are people of money. Like just the fact that you have money, or like people are in certain positions of power, or the systems that exist that perpetuate that, are like police are there to keep these systems
going
in place.
Yeah,
and there's basically
and to protect those systems rather than
and they do that by the threat of violence. Either it's from literally like physically hurting you, or by arresting you and putting you in jail, which is another form of violence. If you take someone's freedom away and you put them in a jail cell, sorry, that's like, it's one of the worst. I mean, I wouldn't say the worst, but it's an enormously violent thing to do. Even if people think like, well, if you're not physically hurt, like then it's not violent. It's like we have a little dog, and she might have to be in quarantine for a few days or even a week, and just. We feel so bad about that because it's like we realize it's a violent thing to do to any animal or human is putting them in a cage, like restricting their freedom. In this case it's like, well, it's again the because of the state and their rules that we have to do this, and like, but I guess it's the whole thing, like violence. I guess my point is, why do I say all cops are bastards? Is because police is inherently violent and it's inherently a bad thing. Even if individual police might be good people, which I do acknowledge that like a small part of the police aren't bad, I would say, from my own personal experience, which maybe we can get into a bit later. But I think that, I mean, maybe I would like to share that, but I don't think that's the point of it. Like, because all the things I felt about the police, I knew already before I was myself faced with police violence, which just showed. Was proof of what I already knew.
Yeah.
You wanna read something?
Well, actually, it's gonna be quite a long read if you don't mind.
From against
because
to change
one goes
everything.
Into others. Yeah. To change everything. An anarchist appeal.
By crime think.
So this one, I don't know. I don't think we read this one last time. But it says start by seeking power, not authority.
I think we did talk a little bit about the difference between power and authority.
So. Do you think I should read it again?
Well, if you think it's, I mean, yeah.
I think it's relevant for the next thing.
No, sure, read it.
Because we basically, the worker who performs the labor have power. The bosses who tell them what to do have authority. Similar to the police, that's why I'm bringing it up, reading it. The tenants who maintain the building have power. The landlord whose name is on the deed has authority. The river has power. A permit to build a dam grants authority. There's nothing oppressive about power per se. Many kinds of power can be liberating. The power to care for those you love, to defend yourself and resolve disputes, to perform acupuncture and steer a sailboat and swing on a trapeze. There are ways to develop your capabilities that increase others' freedom as well. Every person who acts to achieve their full potential offers a gift to all. Authority over others, on the other hand, usurps their power. And what you take from them, others will take from you. Authority is always derived from above. I'm not going to give the examples of that.
So yeah, I mean, I guess it's, yeah, or is it more you want to...
In society, power and authority are so interlinked that we can barely distinguish between them. We can only obtain power in return for obedience. And yet, without freedom, power is worthless. And then the next section is...
Maybe we want to talk a little bit about this.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I guess that's the whole thing about, like, the police, I mean, we can talk about community policing, maybe we'll get into that later, like, I mean, if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't think it's inherently bad or good. I mean, as long as it's not like making the same, recreating the same system as the police does,
of
but
abuse of
then
power,
like
yeah.
done by volunteers, because then you end up with, I mean, the same problem. Like, yeah. But I guess that's the whole thing. Like, you have to, I mean, what is it in South Park where this cliche of Kyle, who's like basically a little Hitler in a lot of his dreams, he actually dreams that he's Hitler.
Really?
Which is kind of like, out of all the kids, he's like the far right little.
Kyle, yeah, I was thinking of the
no,
little
that's
one
Kyle.
Who doesn't
no,
talk.
That's not Kyle. Kyle's the one who always dies. Anyway,
okay.
Is it Kyle?
I
forget
know.
Who it is, the little fat kid.
Okay.
But it's like, he always keeps saying, respect my authority!
Oh, yes.
And he's often dressed in like police outfit with a. And that's the whole thing, like, he has no respect because he doesn't have any power, because no one actually takes him seriously,
yeah.
because he's a buffoon. That's why he needs authority, and he needs actually to, and I guess that's the problem with police. Even some police who might be good police might actually have power, because they're actually...
They've earned...
No, or they, the way they interact with people, that actually gives them power.
It's the next one, it's start with building relationships on trust.
Exactly.
Yeah, they've earned the trust of
yeah.
the people.
So,
yeah,
like, but then they are good despite being police, not because they are police.
Yeah.
And I guess if those people would be able to do what they do, would... naturally do without having a police uniform and being police, then it would be much better. And I think in every society and in every community there are people like that, and actually everyone is the capability of doing that. I guess somewhere else, maybe, which is where like what you're talking about now is what when you actually create relationships not based on hierarchy or on then actually it might seem like there's more conflict, but the whole point is like conflict in itself isn't bad, but the problem is if conflict is now pushed into these hierarchies where someone has power over you. I mean, I'm using power because I don't know another word,
authority
but actually,
is the
authority
word,
actually
yeah.
over you. Even if they're wrong, they'll still get their way, and that's what I feel like. Why I genuinely believe all cops are bastards, because anyone in that position can become an asshole. Maybe some the really good cops will never be assholes, but it does feel like that's despite like the system.
But we see,
they're in.
It's like I feel like it's the same with any government, like
yeah, or any
yeah.
author. Like it's the same with boss. Everyone has had asshole bosses who like are completely incompetent. They like have no way to actually. They shouldn't be in that position, but they're now the boss, and probably because they're so bad at it, they end up being more assholes, because that's the only way they can get people to what they think respect them, which people don't respect them, or because they don't have respect, they'll use their authority just to show that like they can make you do what they want you to do. And I guess that's the problem that's with any relationship with based on authority. But I think police is like just a prime example of that, and it's something that like I mean most of us will hopefully never end up in prison, where like it's or like in any other situations where authority is so clear, like most situations authority is less, it's less, I mean most relationships are not less based on authority, I think, I hope, but yeah.
Sorry, just to go back to the whole trust thing, I feel like that is exactly how you should feel around police officers. But how many people how many people feel that when you get pulled over by a traffic officer or a police officer when you're driving your car?
You always think you're in, like
you
feel
always
fearful.
Think that you always the fear instinct kicks in immediately, like, and that's not how it should be. You should,
which you had like from the beginning, from as long as I know you.
I've
even,
always had that
exactly
yeah.
long before I was talking to you about why police is bad.
Yeah.
So it's like just the fact that you instinctively feel scared,
yeah.
Like, that can never be a good thing, right? And then you instinctively feel this fear, because instinctively you know they have the power to maybe give you a fine, but even if you, like, I mean, it's unlikely, but, like, if you say the wrong thing or somehow they feel, like,
offended,
they might actually arrest you or, like, in worst, I mean, I don't think that's realistic
that's
us as white people to get killed.
I was
going to
say, I've got white skin, so
I've
got...
So we probably won't get, like, come on, like, end up dead, but, like...
Yeah.
That's the other thing, like, the people actually are already in the worst position, like, in, like, actually have even more to fear from police on top of all the other problems that exist, or the other struggles they face. Let's put it that way.
And I think that's another thing that we want to talk about on the subject was the whole immigration policy,
which is
and discrimination against people,
which is the basis of what's happening in France, but in a lot of places.
Yeah, all over the world.
Yeah.
But I think, like, I remember when I went to Belgium with you for the first time, like in 2019, like, I remember us having a conversation about, like, the injustices and the discrimination against, like, people of color that are living in places like Belgium, for example.
Yeah, and especially in the bigger cities.
And, like, I remember being so surprised, but...
I guess it is you coming from South Africa.
Yeah.
You think Europe is this...
I had an idea of Europe being, like, a little bit better than elsewhere.
The problem is most people in Europe also think that.
No, they think that Europe is above and beyond every other place.
Exactly, but they don't see the problems that are, like, right there in front of them, which is, like, I guess, which is also, I mean, another part of, like, the whole thing about police is that most people, like, I guess that's why we had, like, these sometimes maybe a bit heated discussions is about police... That I said the police is inherently bad, but most people want to believe that police is good and the police are there to protect you. And like, but that's the thing, like, actually, when you break it down, and both in theoretically from a like an ethical perspective, it's like, how is it just that someone has the power to use force against you? But also in a practical point of view, what all the abuses police do to people all over the world. I mean, everywhere police abuse power. That's just like, I mean, just read the news anywhere. I mean, yeah, that just happens like on a day-to-day basis.
Maybe we should speak a little bit about like this systematic violence, like that's this authority that the police have and the inherent violence that comes with the role comes from above. And like, I want to like talk about a little bit more about the immigration policies that they have in Europe, and like how they send so many people away to die, and the whole problem coming down to the fact that these borders exist that are actually imaginary and made up. I know this is maybe a little bit different from.
Episode just about borders and what's wrong with them.
Because we've met so many lovely people in the short time that we've been away, and we're so surprised to hear that they are like. Their views on immigration are like completely...
Well, we would consider very right-wing.
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess they're not so right-wing. It seems to be pretty mainstream. Seeing how many people of this. I mean, yeah, for sure. And immigration and policing of immigration is like... But I feel like that's almost like...
It may
so
be.
Much, so yeah. much that it's like... I'd rather, I mean, just keep that for a separate episode.
Okay.
But I guess what I'm thinking of is, like, the fact that, like, what, like, in Europe, most people would think as immigrants, which are basically second or third generation, like, their parents or grandparents immigrated to Europe, usually from North Africa, in the case of France, from Algeria, in the case of, in Belgium, mainly from Morocco, and it's, like, I guess different places have different immigration histories. But it's these people of color, who are over-policed constantly. I mean, I lived in Brussels for a while, and I would see all the time, like, these young people of, like, North African descent. Like, they're driving around in their car, like, usually, like, with a bunch of them together, and the police would just stop them. Like, everyone has to come out of the, like, they get all searched, they're, like, their trunk is searched. So it's like, I've driven around in Brussels and Belgium for years and years, and, like, I would never face that. Like, it's very clear that policing is racist. I mean, and, like, is that the individual police who's doing racial profiling, or is this coming from above? In the end, it doesn't matter, because it is happens on such a scale that it is systematic. And I guess that's, for me, different from migration. Or immigration, a lot of people see like immigration as a problem, and they would even see these people who are like not immigrants. They were born in the country they live in.
Mm-hmm.
They're second, like I said, second or third, or maybe even more generations. But like for a lot of people in Europe, they will always be immigrants,
mm-hmm.
no matter how long like they've lived, like in whatever their nationality is and whatever. They'll always be seen that way, and the police will also always see them in that way, and the police will also treat them in that way. I mean, police in general, like I said, there might be some police who are not racist, or, but even those, like if you're with your partner and they decide to pull over this car, you as a individual police officer, I don't think you have any power. Like if you would try to stop that, like I think you'd either lose your job very quickly or realize that you have to change your job. So the fact that you are still a police is like, even if you're against this, you're still part of this problem, which is the problem of policing and over policing certain groups of people, which in most countries is based on race, which is why Black Lives Matter is such a big thing, which also similarly happened in the UK. And what the problem is, what now commentators are saying, and people who live in France and you know France, the problem is in France they've never been this reckoning with the fact that police is racist. Like it's just basically not seen as a problem, so there's never been even any attempt to solving this problem, because it's, I guess, the people who it happens to are not important enough, or they're not heard. And I guess that's where, like, I think race and immigration comes into the story. I would like to just focus on that instead of the whole thing of borders, which is like, yes, police is part of like border, but it's usually separate police who do border checks. And like, I mean, yeah, I know it overlaps, as everything overlaps, but I would keep that as a separate thing, except for saying that like the fact that borders exist is just for me inherently wrong. And even if borders for the time being need to be exist, then they shouldn't be enforced the way they are either in Europe or in the US or in most places. I think there's like just so much wrong with that. But like I said, I'd love to have just a separate episode to just unpack that completely.
Okay, did you want to speak a little bit about your experience with the police?
Did you want to read more from...
No, I think that headline, build relationships on trust, not on, like, authority.
Yeah.
I think that was basically... Well, the next one was start with revolt, which I think is what we were saying earlier about how changes only come when people...
Yeah, and I guess also why, like, revolt is justified, and why the burning of cars and the attacking police and the looting of stores are, like, people say that's just random violence, or that's like, that's not like political, or that's not, it's like, well, it is, that's the voice of the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
If you're oppressed, and I mean, if you're faced with police violence constantly, just to be able to turn back the roles, apart from it being liberating to yourself, is a political act. So the fact that like violence is never justified, I mean, we talked about that already, or that it's not a political act, whereas like maybe anarchists who fight the police, it is, like, that's also totally not true. And I don't think any true anarchist would ever say that. Even if the people who are on the street fighting the police don't consider themselves anarchists, like, I think as an anarchist, you have to see that their struggle is your struggle. It's the same struggle.
Mm.
Even if they're coming in from completely different reasons, they're feeling the same oppression that you feel. And I guess what I wanted to say about that, which maybe, like, will lead into, like, this, what my own experience with police violence, I guess what it comes down to, me as being anarchist or being activist and being faced with police violence, I acknowledge the fact that I'm privileged, because if I just decide that this is like more than I can deal with, I can decide not to be an anarchist or not act on it and just like keep quiet, and police will then leave me alone, hopefully. If you're the police seeing your experiences is based on your skin color or where you live, you can't escape it. Mm-hmm. And that is the grave injustice, which is why I always, when I see this happen, like I saw this happen to myself, but I know that I'm privileged that I could just step away from it when it was too much.
Yeah.
If you, the people who are now setting cars on fire, is like, yeah, it's completely justified in my eyes, because I can totally feel what they feel, because like, and I've only had to experience it a few times. They've had to experience it from like every time they go and just leave the house.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Did you want to talk about your experience a bit?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it also comes back to what we're talking about, borders. I mean, part of my activism back in Belgium was like around borders and basically the no border activism, so which is basically fighting against the what you in Europe call Fortress Europe, just the fact that like, yeah, immigration is so heavily policed and it's just extremely violent, and borders in themselves are violent. So the activism was about that, and during one of those demonstrations, which by the way was a totally peaceful demonstration, but it was in the context of a No Border Action Week, which the police were so afraid of, because anarchists from all over Europe were coming to Brussels, and they were gonna basically, it's like the police, how the police or the intelligence, I'm using quotes here, within the police, because they're very unintelligent, which I mean, just the fact how, well, anyway, so many reasons why like we were talking about it this week, like how it shows how stupid police really are. Basically, they were so convinced that there was going to be large-scale rioting, and that the basically these anarchists were going to burn the city down. So they had like loads and loads of police, including a lot of the special riot police, which in Belgium are pretty bad. I think in France they're even worse, but like in Belgium they're also pretty bad. As I explained to Big Blue, is like people who are in these divisions of police, they usually choose to be there. So it's the very testosterone driven, I mean, not to say that there's no women in those teams, but it's mainly like the big guys who like love to work out whenever they can, and like just looking for any excuse as a police to just use the muscle and use their batons and the power that they can wield. So anyway, there was a demonstration at a closed asylum center, which is again like, it's just so wrong. It's basically people, families ending up in prison. I mean, it's not called a prison, it's called a detention center, but it is in all like, in effect, it is a prison. And the only reason they're in prison is because they fled the place they were born or where they lived, because it, for whatever reason, and they were deemed illegal and put in a prison. So the protest went to this closed detention center, and on the way back, actually, police on horses decided to, they had nothing better to do than to charge into the protest, which was already going back to the agreed upon like starting point. Everyone knew they were going back there. I mean,
to clarify, this was the end of the protest. People were on their way back.
Yeah, and the protest was not violent whatsoever. I've been in violent protests, which again, like, I think there's reasons to be violent, but like in that case, I wouldn't say that police is justified to use violence against protesters, but like, I guess they feel more justified, and like you can somehow see like, well, that's like fair. If you engage in attacking the police will attack back, which actually, by the way, no demonstration I've ever been, it was demonstrators who started by attacking the police. It always starts with the police attacking protesters and protesters reacting. I mean, at least from what I've seen.
Yeah.
Which is also completely opposite to what most people
believe.
Because, like, more police would never do that. Like, it's like, well, you obviously don't know police. But yeah, they were just literally just charging into on horses with batons, like just plowing into protesters and then pulling to the side whichever protester they could get to, just out of sight of everyone else and any cameras that were there, just beating them up. I mean, I don't know whatever other reason they would have to take people behind like a wall or somewhere where no one can see them. So, I mean, there's been more things like that. I mean, that I've encountered, which include me being detained, because I think technically I wasn't arrested, because I didn't do anything wrong and there was no reason to arrest me. The police basically picking me up, putting me in a jail cell because they thought I was doing something wrong, which in this case was being on my way to a protest, which was like And yeah, just the way police then treat you when you ask them why they've been detained, they will just like call you the filth of they basically just are, I would say, abusing their power, except for that I don't feel like it's even an abuse of power. It's like it's the same with like you can use drugs or abuse drugs, and I think most people use drugs, and abusing drugs is maybe even the wrong word. And I think it's the same with power. It's not that they're abusing power, they're just using the power that's given to them. It's like if you say they're abusing their power, then it's you're pretending that this is not what they normally do, which I think is the problem. That's what they do with this power that they're given, and that's what they're actually expected to do, because there's no consequences for what they do. Anyway, there's been a few cases where I've encountered police which just like, yeah, you realize that police are, I mean, I guess aren't there to protect you if you fall into a category that they don't deem like the model citizen or how people should be. And the problem is like, who decides what is. Okay, that's our little dog Coco.
Okay, I'll have to
Also
after
has
this. You can carry
some
on.
words.
Carry on.
Okay, I'm gonna just pause for a little bit. So yeah, I mean, apart from the philosophical, political, intellectual reasons why I hate the police, I've like actually, like, yeah, seen all these things which I kind of already knew, just in practice, like how, and that's like I said, that's because I was exercising my right to be an activist or to do what, like, in any free society is your right.
To protest.
To protest, which again, which bring me actually to another thing, this whole idea that police has the right to say which protests are legal and which are illegal, because like it's the same I think in most countries, like police will say like this is an illegal protest because you did not ask for a permit, and or you asked for a permit and it wasn't given to you, which is like this whole idea that the police has the right to say which protests are allowed and which ones aren't, like
But it's not coming from the police, it's coming from above the police, right?
well,
They're not the
yeah.
ones who get to make the decision, they're just the ones who have to ensure that the decision is
Yeah,
carried out.
I don't know. I think from what I've seen in Belgium, it's often you have to ask, you send your request for a demonstration to the police, and the
Oh,
police will
really?
decide like, well, this is safe or this is not safe, and that's also like actually
Okay.
whenever you're in, at least in Belgium, whenever you're arrested or detained, it's always for disturbing the peace. Which is like very strange because you're just like walking on the street and now
Pretty
the
silly, yeah.
police violently take you. They're disturbing your peace, but still you're being like, also, I think it's because it's so broad, disturbing the peace. Only a judge can decide what is disturbing the peace, which every police officers know that like no one will ever get like go to jail for disturbing the peace. But it's like because they're here to uphold the law and they can interpret disturbing the peace any way they want. And if ever it comes to a case where you say like I was unlawfully detained, it's like, well, in my eyes it was disturbing the peace, and like it's up to everyone separately to see what that means. But it's like it's so broad that like police love to use that, like that's what they always use, I mean always use, at least in Belgium, I think in a lot of places. So yeah, that's the other thing, like that, like yeah, there or that even that there are like right ways and wrong ways to protest. Like if you stay on the sidewalk, then it's okay. But as soon as you move onto the street, it's illegal, which is like, well, basically you're jaywalking, which is like maybe they could arrest you for jaywalking, but even that's not what you're basically blocking traffic, and you basically what you're doing is not doing what they want you to do, what you're supposed to do. Like as a good pedestrian, as a good citizen, you stay on your
I think
sidewalk, you stay where you need to be. I'm getting into a rant, yeah.
yes.
Maybe you have something to say.
No, I just, I don't know, like, the more we're talking about it now, the more I'm feeling like the police are, and I'm sorry to our new police friend, that the police are puppets of some other higher, like, or at least maybe they are trained to think in a certain way.
Or instructed from
Or instructed,
either
yeah.
higher up in police who are also again
Which doesn't
instructed by people in political power.
Which, like, does not, like, diminish their responsibility.
Individual.
Yeah, responsibility, yeah.
But it is... just following orders is literally what, like...
Then go do something else. Yeah, like, if following your orders... I suppose it's also a privileged way of thinking. Yeah. Like, if the only job you can get is to be a policeman.
Which probably is not... Then, well, I mean, it might be the best paid job, but, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Being in the army is often even... Well, in a lot of places, even better paid. But there, you actually have the chance of getting shot yourself. Whereas a police, like... It's, like, if you get shot, you actually... Like, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
So, I think it's all very complicated. I think the main problem here comes down to people having power over other people, right?
Hmm.
And how that never ends well.
No, and I think the thing is, police have power over you, but they also are the way that, like, whoever is in power wields that power over you. Because, like, whenever you do something that upsets someone in power, they're not themselves physically going to stop you. They will call the police to do it for them.
Yeah.
So that's basically, that's the role, that's why police was invented.
It's so interesting because when I was a little girl, I always was like, oh, like, I feel safe because there's, like, there are police around, you know? Mm. And, like, how much it's changed to be, like, if I get pulled over by traffic cop who's not even a proper police person.
Well, they are, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they're managing the traffic. They're not like putting normal police work.
Yeah, they probably don't even carry guns.
Or it's like, where is that? There's something wrong with that. And like,
and I think it's just, I mean, the fact that you feel that, like, I guess a lot of people who are privileged don't even feel that because they don't.
Yeah.
I mean.
Because they're living in the bubble.
Yeah, and then they never have to fear the police because police will never hurt them. I mean, I guess the thing is with traffic, most people, like, that's the thing also, which is another thing about laws. Like, there's so many laws that, like, it's practically impossible to never, ever break any law.
Mm.
Like, there's so many laws, and, like, if you strictly have to follow laws, it's impossible to do. So everyone at some point breaks the law, and most people only do it when they're in a car.
And for those that are listening who are saying, like, I've never broken the law, just think of all those times you drunk drove.
Or you just were going over the speed limit because the speed limit was, like, just like, yeah, that's just a suggestion or whatever.
Or you smoked marijuana when it was illegal, which has been
even some people who believe that they've never broken the law, inadvertently, there's going to be a law that you didn't know about or that was... pretty much impossible to follow, because that's the thing with laws, which is a whole thing on itself, but like, it is related to police laws. So many laws do not make sense.
I do think the drunk driving law makes
sense. I mean, I would even say that's the only time when I think policing is right, is like when people are either drunk driving or speeding or basically automotive violence, like people using their car as a weapon, which a lot of people do. So that would almost be the only time when I'm like agreeing with police. But like, let's not, like, I mean, still, like, I think the problem here there is cars and like, which is in itself, like, that's a whole episode on its own.
I feel like we need to have a whole conversation about where's the gun? Wait, we need to have a whole like chat about. Oh, it's gone, sorry.
It was about traffic and police and drunk driving.
It was about how sometimes making things difficult to obtain makes them more sought after.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like maybe we can talk about that a little bit sometimes. Because, yeah, maybe the whole drunk driving comes from that. I don't know.
Well, there's so much to unpack about drunk driving because it's substance abuse and automotive... like how cars are basically violence. Actually, the ACAB, like I used to have like a little, like, you know, those reflective vests you wear as a cyclist, which at ACAB, all cars are bastards. Which actually in like the circles where like most people would like, where this was discussed, wasn't amongst anarchists, but amongst people who were like, going to raves and stuff. And a lot of people were like, no, not all cars are bad. It's like, because they obviously love driving their car and they don't see it as something bad. But like, So yeah, ACAB can also mean all cars are bastards.
I feel like that's the kind of thing that cyclists
would
would
say.
have. But that's probably the thing that people in cars driving next to cyclists would say.
No, because actually, yeah, wow. We should totally have an episode about cars and about cycling and cyclists, because you do not like cyclists
I've
in most cases.
I've inherited this from someone else, let's just say.
Anyway,
we have friends who cycle and we love them to bits. Just cyclists on the road are a different story, but anyway.
Well, there's also a lot to unpack as why are the cyclists in the way of
because
of
they don't
cars.
Have their own lanes.
Exactly, so the problems are always, it's never the, like, anyway.
It's never the cyclists' fault. It's
no.
The, yeah.
I mean, not to say that there aren't some real assholes on bicycles, but that's something different. on the one hand, we're kind of straying away from what we're talking about, but
yes,
I guess that's the whole point, like, everything is connected. But yeah, police, I mean, to me, I guess what it comes down to, which is something we started to talk about a bit last episode, is what would the world be like without police?
Mm.
Which I guess most people can't, even if people agree that police is bad and like police needs to be reformed and there's problems, like most people cannot see a world where there's no police at all. But I guess that's maybe what you, this, the part that you started to read
about responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If there is no police and no one except apart from yourself to resolve these conflicts, then you have to resolve conflicts yourself.
Amongst yourself.
Obviously, people who are like for whatever reason, like yeah, not everyone is as adept at resolving conflict, which also. Think, which is where community comes in into play, where it shouldn't be every individual have to resolve every conflict. But I think the whole point is that if you have to resolve conflicts yourself, then like either these conflicts, which might be like completely valid conflicts, which actually have to play out, because like sometimes conflict is good, which is very weird for me to say because I'm very conflict avoiding. Like it's I think one of my biggest flaws as a human.
You don't have any flaws.
Well, thank you. But I would say, like, it can be a bad thing if you're avoiding conflict at all costs. Sometimes conflict is necessary or is inevitable. Necessary might not be the right word. But, yeah.
I don't feel like we can say that without addressing why crime exists.
Yeah.
To begin with.
Yeah.
Like, you have to talk about that as well, right?
So, well, first of all, crime exists because there's laws. And a lot of the laws are unjust. Like, the fact that, both, for instance, you're not allowed to put certain substances into your own body, which is just, to me, completely absurd. So I'm talking about drugs. But, like, I mean, that is in itself already, like...
Well, some drugs should be not be allowed because they are...
It still should be...
Okay, so you're talking about the rights of the individual to make their own decision. Okay.
But apart from that, like, even the laws that do make sense, like,
capitalism, that's where I was going to
go. Yeah, capitalism is another...
Yeah.
Well, a lot of laws are intended to uphold the property rights, which is, like, one of the fundamental needs of capital. I mean, it's, to me, tied to capitalism, although you can have property without capitalism, but... Yeah, no, there's just
injustice. Capitalism and inequality, because...
And a lot of other injustice, like, injustices
but,
in the world.
I think a lot of the crime wouldn't exist if we all had enough.
Yeah,
and
if some people wouldn't be able to hoard things like corporations or rich people.
And we all took care of each other. We all
exactly.
had enough and we all took care of each other. And we all felt responsible towards each other.
Yeah.
Then.
Well, theft wouldn't, like, all the property, like, based crimes would not exist, which are, like, a large part of crime, I think, in most places.
And I feel like a lot of, like, the, maybe sexual deviance, sexual crimes.
Yeah.
That maybe wouldn't happen because you would feel too responsible towards your society, your community, in order to do any of that. And I guess usually sexual predators come from a history of being abused themselves. So I would hope that if enough people took responsibility, that they would be able to stop things from happening or continue to happen early on. Like, even if you just get a hunch, but it is, I suppose we don't know, do we?
No, but the thing is, I think what it comes down to for me, it's like, well, the, again, like, there's laws, like, in a lot of countries, there were laws, and in some countries, there still are laws, for instance, about homosexual sex. And so there's, like, there's this thing where sex actually in itself is almost seen as a bad thing, which is, like, based on Catholicism or whichever society you live in, whatever the religion or whatever the background is. Not all societies are like that, I'm not saying that, but the societies we come from, Western societies, often have see sex as a bad thing, and also see sex as something that a male initiates and, like, exercises
his right over a woman.
Yeah, which actually used to be actually.
Or somebody who's vulnerable.
Yeah, I guess, well, it used to be like that sex with, like, outside of marriage is was illegal. In some places, it still is. But apart from that, that, like, within a marriage, like basically rape is not. It's impossible. I mean, that's luckily not the case in most countries anymore. But, like, basically that a man had right to have sex with his woman, his wife, whenever he wanted his woman. But, like, I mean, just to say, like, on part of sexual offenses are based on that the laws are wrong. But I think more, which I think nowadays is not really the case. But I think what the problem is that, like, sex is seen in such a restrictive way that people, like, do not know how to exercise their libido or whatever you want to call it in a healthy way. And on the other part, it's actually a lot of it is based on again power dynamics, which I think are inherently as part of sex. Is always about, I mean, who said it, like,
that's true.
Everything is about sex, everything in life is about sex, and sex is about power. Which is I don't think it's more complex than that. I wouldn't agree with that completely, because, like, there's way, like, about sex and sexuality, there's so much to unpack that. But I guess a lot of sexual deviancy or sexual crime is more to do with power than actually about actual pure lust. Or, like, and I mean, I guess that's the other thing that, like, in our society, like, sex and violence are almost, like, have become so, I don't know. I think a lot of the problems are societal and are based on, like, the fact that people do not, are not able or have not been brought up to see sex in what it actually is. Like, not that I think there should be any, I mean, there shouldn't be any laws or any even customs, or people should be able to express their sexuality in whatever way they feel fit, as long as it doesn't impede others. And that's, I guess, where, like, the sense of community and sense of what is right, I guess that's the other thing, like, this thing that, like, well, if we don't have police or we don't have laws, then, like, why would people do the right thing? Like, if the only reason you're doing
the right thing is because you're
afraid of
you.
If you're afraid of consequences, then you're a horrible person, and then, like, you should really think about what, like, your whole value system. And I guess the thing is, like, we're so preoccupied with living our lives according to the rules, whether it's laws or the rules that society sets for us, which might not even be laws, but, like, basically you're ostracized, or you seen in a certain way which you don't want to be seen because people want to be accepted by the people around them. That, like, certain, like, you're basically so busy with trying to live your life the way you think it should be lived, that, like, if you were free to live your life according to how you feel is right, I think that would, like, stop a lot of crime. Much, like, apart from what you said, capitalism being a problem, I think society as a whole, which capitalism is a part of, and the fact that there is hierarchies and authority is where there should just be human relationships in a natural way. I mean, maybe that's too optimistic of a view, but I mean, I'm sure there are certain people, even in those if things were in this, like I would want to live like as an anarchist society, or living in not based in on authority, there would still maybe be some people who like do things that are wrong, but I think then as a society it would be much easier to deal with that, because everyone would feel responsible and have the power to actually act on that. So I guess
do we need to then talk about vigilante justice then?
Well, I guess so. I mean, the thing is, like, I touched on it a little bit earlier, like, police reform or community policing, there's like a real risk there where it becomes like basically vigilante justice, or whoever decides to like be the person to uphold the law, which is, I think, like if you look at like just any Western movie, it's always like the sheriffs or whoever and the deputies, or which I think in US and in some places it's still like that.
Yeah.
Just happens to be whoever thinks that they're the right person to uphold the law. Which usually if you think you're that person, you probably aren't, because like most people, the people who actually should be like looking after for each other should not be the people who want to punish someone else or be the one to tell other people that they're wrong. So I think there's a huge difference between, like, that, which I think, to me, community policing, to me, like, it feels like it's going that way, where actually there shouldn't be any community policing or need for community policing, because the community should be
accountable
and actually taking care of each other without having to police. Because it's the same thing about policing, if you just think of the word policing, like, if you're in a group of people, if you're policing other people's behavior, which could be like you're not supposed to act in that way, or you're like, which has nothing to do with law or being police, but like people police each other all the time, or like you're telling someone else they shouldn't say something, or they shouldn't act in a certain way, like that's to me never a good thing.
Well, it depends.
Maybe.
On whether somebody's rights are being infringed or not.
Yeah, obviously, but also like, you know, I guess the thing is, policing in itself is I think inherently, even if it's not the police doing the policing, there's always risks in policing. So I don't think anyone should be deputized or definitely not vigilantes like taking over the policing from the police. Right?
Although oftentimes like that's as a result of the police, not.
Not doing their job.
Not doing something fast enough or within a reasonable time, which, that people feel like they have to take
I think what you're talking about is what happens in South Africa, especially in communities that have been neglected in all manners of public service, including policing, and like where basically what you'd call a township, or like where
informal housing,
settlements, but where the police either does not interfere, or there's such a people do not believe that police actually would do the right thing, that basically people take things in their own hands and go after whoever they think has done something wrong, which in some cases might be the right person, but could also be the wrong person, and
somebody dies. That's the end.
And what often happens, to bring it back to the South African context, then what happens is that the people who did the vigilante justice actually put in jail, which then leads to outrage in the community, because they feel like the police is actually, instead of going after the person they should have been after, they're going after the person who actually did what they needed to do. But again, it's like such a complex thing, because on one hand, I understand that this happens, and like on the one hand I feel it justified, but on the other hand, like, who is, like, the mob is the worst judge, like it's almost worse than an actual judge. Well, already do not trust, but like mob justice is very rarely just. They often go after the wrong person, and again, that person might be whoever is considered an outsider.
Yeah,
often.
Could be anyone.
Yeah, but often people who are from a different country.
Well,
I'll say
at something
least,
really
yeah.
radical, which is disturbing my being right now. Just because I'm thinking it, is that sometimes you have to wonder, like, if this extreme outlet of violence from vigilantes, like, that we have in South Africa, that's kind of like a form of, I mean, that would scare the shit out of anybody wanting to do that again.
Yeah.
To commit that crime, whether that person was innocent or not, the person who ended up dying as a result of that crime, it would surely scare anyone who's even thinking of that kind of thing from doing it again within their community.
I wouldn't be that sure of it. Because that's the same logic that in the United States people use, and where corporal punishment, where the death penalty still exists, is like, well, if you know you can die, or like, then like, people obviously are not going to commit these crimes. These crimes are still being committed. It's not that.
Yeah.
So I don't think it works that way.
Okay. Fair enough.
But, I mean, yeah. I mean, it's, I guess, when I heard of this happening and I read about it in the news as I was, like, relatively new to South Africa, I also had, like,
Repulsion.
But also conflicting thoughts where, on the one hand, I could understand that these things happened and I could understand the community acting in the way they did. But on the other hand, it's like, well, taking someone else's life is never, I mean, unless it's like really to stop something happening at that point, which is never the case. It's always killing someone after they've done something. Mm. I mean, I think if you can stop someone from killing or hurting someone only by physically, like, stopping them by killing them, then maybe in that case, which is basically usually what the police use to justify why they use lethal force, but, I mean, that, yeah, so even in that case, it's not, but, like, especially after the fact, like, after someone's committed a crime, then you're committing a greater crime.
You're just as guilty as him, because you committed a crime.
Yeah, and you actually did it premeditated, because you actually decided to go after that, which is, like,
Sorry, can you add that?
Which in most courts, like, the difference between committing a crime premeditated or not is, like, if you do it premeditated, it's actually a worse offense. Which is also, I mean, there's, like, is that right or wrong? I don't know. I mean, it just shows that, like, laws are, I mean, I guess law, the interesting thing is laws, when you look at it, when you study law, laws are always based on, like, whatever is right in a community. So in any community or in any society, there's going to be, like, kind of, like, there's always, like, going to be some sense of justice. And, like, at some point, I guess it's good to make it clear to everyone what is right. Mm. Like, as there are, like, a lot of places that are, like, say, this is a non-racist, non-sexist, hate-free zone. Like, and this kind of behavior will not be tolerated in our community.
Mm.
Which in itself is normal, and I think that's what always happens. But, like, as soon as you then write it down into laws, and these laws become, like,
enforced
by people who are now professionals, who are now, like, having to decide, is this law being broken or not? I think, like, there's so much going wrong there, and, like, every step that you get further away from the original intent of the law is one step, like, further into injustice almost always. So I think laws are inherently bad, I think.
Okay. We can unpack that maybe next
time. Yeah, there's so much to unpack. But I guess what I wanted to go down to, like, well, all cops are bastards. And we've seen this again this week in France. And
except for our friend.
Yeah. We don't think you're a bastard, but at maybe all, you should all, think of another job. But I think he is actually, it sounded like he is thinking of not and further in, like...
But for other reasons, yeah.
Yeah, for other reasons, but I guess he's not that committed to being a cop that wants to do it for the rest of his life, which also speaks in his defense. I guess I wanted to, like, maybe, like, go back to, like, just a little anecdote from my own life. I used to have a camper van back in Europe, and I put all this, like, I love stickers, so I put stickers all the way on the inside, but also on the outside, and on the outside were a lot of anti-fascist stickers. And also, there's these stickers which, like, you see a lot in, especially the more left-leaning cities in Belgium, which is still not loving police, which is actually a line from Dr. Dre, still Dre, still not loving police, and it's just like, it's still not hard signing police, which is like you see everywhere. And I got one of the stickers, so I put them on the, at the back of my van. So one, and next to that was in Leuven, which was the city I was like staying then, or was like very often in. There's this sticker which is in Flemish, which is like Chaos Bar Haat Flikker. So Chaos Bar, which is like an anarchist, like well, concerts and bars, hates cops. So I had those two stickers right next to each other, and one time the police stops me, and they're looking at these police, these stickers, and they're just like, but they were actually, they were just, they thought it was quite funny. I think one of them even took out his cell phone and took like a selfie next to the sticker, because he thought it was so funny. But he did ask me for some clarifications on that, and I said, well, like, the one is pretty clear, I'm still not loving police, but that doesn't say anything bad. And the other one just said that Chaos Bar hates cops. It doesn't say that I hate cops. I'm not going to comment on my feelings. So I think I got away quite easily there. But anyway, I would love to see get more of those stickers, actually. But still not loving police. I think it's a good one. It's also a really good Dr. Dre song. But yeah, so still not loving police, and I don't know.
I think that, like, I don't have any bad feelings towards the police still. I just have bad feelings towards police who do bad things.
And I guess that's where we differ. Yeah. I think police doing bad things are inherent to the fact that there is police.
Yeah.
And I think you maybe believe that there's, like, I guess it's a difference between you believing in police reform, that, like, maybe, I don't know if I'm putting words in your mouth, but, like, that you believe that, like, police should be, like, made not to do all the bad things, but that, like, police in itself is not per se bad, where I think police is just inherently bad, like, just the concept of police. Even if the police was perfect and never did anything wrong and just followed the law to the letter, like, like, completely, and there was, like, no systemic racism in the police or no...
But it's not a personal thing for you. It's not like you hate policemen. You hate the
system of police. Yeah, but for me, the two are
the same. Yeah. Okay.
It's like, I mean, yeah, I don't want to draw it any further.
And I think, like,
yeah,
I totally understand that after what you told me this morning about your experience.
And what I told about now in the show.
Yeah, I get it.
But I already had those feelings before. It's not like I'm hating police because that happened. It just, I mean, I had PTSD after that happened, and it took me quite a few years to get, like, to not feel, like, anxious every time I recalled that.
Well, you were even getting a bit anxious when you were telling me this morning, so
because it's still, I mean, that is a thing with trauma, like, when you recall trauma, it's always going to be...
It has a
physical effect, but it's much better. It used to be where...
It's more deliberate, or even not even
conscious, where any time I was in a situation that was stressful, I would, like, get a stress reaction, and that stress reaction would bring back the PTSD, because I felt I had the same physical reaction, just even from my heart rate going up, that would, like, remind me of that, which is typical PTSD, where it's, like, not even a conscious thing anymore. So I'm definitely past that, and, like, but I think even if that hadn't happened to me, I wasn't, like, before that, I already had heard enough stories and had enough reasons to think police are bad, but, like, I guess it just made it much clearer to me that people of color, usually, or people who are over-policed, how terrible it is. Like, because, like I said, like, I had the choice to be there, and after that happened, I really stayed away from the situations where I could encounter something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, for a lot of people, it's not possible to avoid this, because of this color of your skin, or just the situation you live in, where you constantly encounter police violence and police brutality. And I guess that's the thing, like, for me, I feel like police in itself as a concept is violent and is brutal. I think police brutality is just what people call certain behavior by the police, but for me it's like, yeah. Anyway, we could probably go on about that for a long time, but for me, I guess my point is that for me, police is inherently brutal.
I was just thinking now because, sorry.
Yeah?
I keep on having this image coming to my mind from when I was a little girl, and it was pre...
end of apartheid.
Yeah, pre the end of apartheid. Like where I was in the streets, probably at about like 4 o'clock on a Sunday, and I was up with my mom. I think we were outside the flats where we used to live, which was in front of the shop where she worked. And a police van just pulled up and like put these two like black men into the back for no reason. They were just there. They were just walking on the street and they got put into the back of the van and, like, taken away. And I was just wondering, like, maybe that's where my, like, feeling fear kicked in, because I knew that there was, like, injustice in that moment. Like, I knew as a child. So, yeah, sorry. That image just kept popping into my mind as we were talking about it. So
thanks
maybe
for
that's
sharing
why.
That, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I mean, I guess that's one example of, like, the police in a authoritarian state or a state that is wrong can... But, like, the thing is, like... Well, the other thing is government. Why government in itself is, I think, bad. But, like, you could say, well, if government isn't bad, then police isn't bad. But that's a problem. As soon as, like, someone else gets elected, that's, like, someone like Trump, or in a lot of places there's people like that who just... now have all this power of the police to use the way they want. I mean, that in itself would be enough reason to see why police is bad. But basically, police doesn't even need someone like that.
No, I see what you're saying, because, like, there's always going to be, like, racist people in any... For example, racist people in any group that you interact with. We've seen it now.
Yeah.
And we've been surprised by some of the ways that people thought, and that's going to exist in any, like, organization anywhere across
except
the world at any time,
except
these people have power.
Plus, like, if you look at any police force, even comparing with, like, how that society is racist, which often, like, police are almost always way more racist, there's, like, way more right-wing and racist people in the police than in society, and that's in any society, because racist or people who are, like, believe in this right-wing authoritarian beliefs, like, they obviously love the police, because it's like, and they would love to be that person, because they would rather be the person who can punish other people or lay down their authority on other people than be, like, which is, like, what's wrong with politics and especially authoritarianism as a whole. But I think, yeah, yes, you're right, but I think with on top of that, like, usually police are even more racist and more, like, it's definitely not the people you would want to be in the police that are usually in the police. Maybe, like, another thing I was just, I mean, we keep going on and on, but I think there's so much to say here. Now, I was reading an article about in the US, few different places it happened, but basically to reckon with, like, all the issues that Black Lives Matter brought to the forefront. A new police chief was, like, put in power, was a woman of color. And a lot of the police were so upset about this that they just en masse decided, like, to leave the force, which already says enough about, like...
Yeah, good riddance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then, and basically what they were saying and what other right-wing people were saying is, like, see, you can't just, like, force these changes on the police, because police are going to leave in droves and crime is going to go up.
What, you don't want those people in your police.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what you saw there is that actually crime went down, even though, like, half of the police left. So we had, like, a sharp decline in the number of police, and, like, the actually crime went down, which is the same. I think it happened in sometime in New York, where I forgot, for whatever reason, there was far less police on the street. I think also because they were upset about not getting to do what they wanted to do, so they just decided to, like, well, we're just gonna go on strike or whatever. And they were just so sure that, like, the crime was gonna go up so much that people would be begging them to come back. the opposite happened. Actually, crime went down because actually, like, well, not because the police was committing crimes, but like, I mean, for so many reasons. Like, if you have bad police, it actually makes us, any society, less safe. And which is also like, I mean, but that's again like that's about bad policing and bad police. Which is like, actually, if the police, like what we were talking about in townships where people don't trust the police, then people are not gonna call the police when something happens, or if a crime does happen, no one's gonna talk to the police, which in a lot of neighborhoods it is, like, basically, never talk to the police, which is still what I believe, like, whenever police talks to you, don't ever talk to them, because you could only put yourself or someone else in trouble. So, like, I think you should never talk to the police. But, I mean, I believe that because of my ideas about the police. In a lot of societies, people, I mean, communities, people believe that because they've just don't have any trust in the police, because there's no reason for them to trust the police, because police have not earned that trust. And I guess that's, like, yeah. But that's, like...
Yeah.
Like, you could say that's the problem with bad police, but, like, I think... It's like a lot of people say, like, oh, like, there's a few bad apples. Like, when most people who are, like, like, see police and what it is, it's like, no, it's more the opposite. Police is bad and there might be a few good apples. But they eventually, like, you know, get dragged down by all the rest. That's, that to me seems more of a reality. And if you look at so many reports and so many news facts and happening all over the world, it does seem to be that way. But, like, I mean, I guess it can be different. I mean, like, yeah, I'm not saying that you're wrong for wanting to reform police. I just feel like I've got a different opinion about it, and I do feel like police should be abolished, and I don't think that is, like, a crazy thing to think, or it's like, oh yeah, in an ideal society, it's like, no, we create an ideal society by doing these things. It's not like we first get to an ideal society and then we will abolish capitalism and we will abolish police and all these things. It's like, no, we get this ideal society by doing all these things. It's the other way around.
By implementing the changes,
okay. I think that's enough for today, hey?
I think so.
Okay, well, we'd love to hear what you think about it. Maybe you are a cop and you want to tell us why you are not bad. I would love to hear from you. I'm sure Big Blue would also. So we'll put our contact details in the show. And, like, even, like, especially if you totally disagree with us, please get in touch. Or if you do agree, or if you want to just know more about anything we talked about, we'll put the link again to Change Everything and to Crime Think. And I think that's it for this week.
Yep.
I mean, this episode.
This episode. Thanks for listening.
There's no weekly episodes, although this one is about a week after the previous one. Anyway, next episode, whenever we feel like making another episode.
Yeah.
So yeah, just subscribe or follow or whatever to know when that is.
Yeah.
Okay, till next time.
Bye.
Bye.